Dear guests, welcome to Matera. Here we are in the cave house of Vico Solitario in the Sasso Caveoso, a typical dwelling partly man-made and partly excavated. Its formation can be dated back to the beginning of the 18th century. Looking up, you can see a barrel vault and interior walls in which a doorway has been carved out. Above lies the only window which gives air to the place. Part of the construction is built onto an excavated area where, in the back of the dwelling, behind a built partition wall that you will be able to visit after this narration, a stall for animals has been carved out, along with a manger. To the right of the manger, there is a cavity which was used to store manure or straw. Against the two-for-stone partition wall, which divides the stable from the larger part of the dwelling, you can see a large greenish chest, called the wheat chest, divided inside into two compartments, one for wheat for human consumption, and the other for animals' fodder. On the rock wall in front of the bed, there is another stall with a trough for the mule. In this stall, as well as the mule or a horse, there were chickens, a pig, and other farmyard animals. Since the cave dwelling was not equipped with toilet facilities, the inhabitants used a cantero, a paint chamber pot in terracotta with a wooden lid, which was kept to the left of the bed. Furniture consisted mainly of a matrimonial bed. This was very high in order to be as far as possible from the humidity of the floor, and also in order to utilize the space underneath. In this space, various things were stored, and usually a mother hen with her chicks were kept there. This bed was composed of two iron stands across which wooden planks were laid, and the mattress was filled with corn leaves. In the cot at the foot of the bed, the smallest child slept during the day, while at night it slept with its parents in order to leave the cot free for another small child. The chest of drawers to the right of the bed contained day-to-day clothing. The last drawer, left open during the night, was often utilized as a bed for the youngest of the children. Next to the chest of drawers, you can see the dowry chest, known as the linen chest, and parts of the wife's trousseau. In front of the bed, there is a roomy box used as a larder containing bread flour, cheese, vegetables, etc., which was called the bread box. At night, these chests were transformed into beds by putting maize-filled mattresses on them. The family at that time was usually large, with several children, on average six, in spite of the fact that the infant mortality rate was over 50%. At mealtime, the family gathered around a small table on which they placed a single large dish, from which everybody ate. Beside the bread box, you can see a loom for weaving and other tools for making cotton. The loom was usually borrowed or rented in the winter period in order to prepare necessary clothes for the family and dowries for the daughters. On the ground, on a round wooden base, lies the brazier, used during winter both for warming the home and for sitting around in rare moments of relaxation and socialization. To the left of the loom, beside the terracotta tub, which was used to do the washing, there is the opening of the cistern, which contained the family's water reserve. To the right of the entrance, through a hole in the ground, you can observe the channeling system which brought rainwater down into the cistern. In the Sassi, there were no aquifers or springs, since the dwellings lie over a massive limestone strata. In the corner to the right, facing the entrance, between the excavated area and the man-made part, a kitchen is located with a classic brick cooking area and a copper cauldron heated by wood and two small carbon burners. In the rock walls, there are niches and shelves to hold crockery and various kitchen pots. On the same walls, utensils and the animals' harnesses are hung. This mostly peasant way of life survived up until 1952, when, with the first special law for the Sassi, ordered by Alcide De Gasperi, then president of the Council of the Ministries, the transfer of over 15,000 people to new quarters in the modern city began. These new quarters were built according to a specific and organic plan by the architect Luigi Piccinato. At that time, Matera had about 30,000 inhabitants, and the transfer of half of the population occurred between 1953 and 1968. The cave dwelling in which you stand was left empty in 1956. Thank you for your attention and warm greetings from the Sassi of Matera.